For this week's podcast, we have teamed up with Multimam. Multimam breastfeeding compresses were created with mums in mind. They help provide immediate and soothing comfort for breastfeeding mothers by supporting the body's natural healing process.
With nearly 1 in 10 British women feeling uncomfortable discussing their breastfeeding struggles with their partner, it's so important not to suffer in silence.
Now, as GPs, we know that if you choose and are able to breastfeed, it can be a natural process, but it certainly doesn't mean it will be easy or possible for every new mum.
As with many new mum experiences, breastfeeding is often trial and error. Whether your first time is a breeze, something of a struggle, or somewhere in between, there's always a lot to learn.
Supported by the Maternity Nurse Association, Multimam breastfeeding compresses give direct relief for the discomforts experienced by some breastfeeding mothers, including pain, swelling, and sensitivity.
Multimam compresses are available to buy online via Amazon Prime, Boots, or at your local pharmacy.
We've had sleep challenges. I've had those nights where he was cluster feeding and he didn't sleep till like 3 o'clock in the morning, literally cluster feeding from the early evening till the early morning.
And oh my goodness.
I was like, do you not know I'm a sleep consultant? Like, looking at him, yeah. Do you not know? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Attention.
And welcome to the Medic Mum podcast with me, Dr. Poonam.
And me, Dr. Steph. So we have an amazing guest lined up for this week's episode. I'm really looking forward to this chat. But before we get into it, we are going to start off with our mum win or fail.
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to hearing yours. Tell me, have you got a win this week? Don't worry, tell me what's been going on.
It's just so much easier to think of a fail, isn't it? Look, I guess you could swing it either way. You could potentially say it is a mum win. So anyway, I'll start and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
So this week, or kind of the past couple of weeks, sleep with my little one, she is now coming up to 18 months old, has just been brutal, like really difficult. I wouldn't say she's a, you know, in inverted commas, good sleeper, but we kind of had a routine going and, you know, night times have been fine so far. And then suddenly, I don't know, she's just up like 3-4 times a night, really difficult to settle. But then also, like, it's like she wants to have a party. She's just, I think the other night, like 3 o'clock in the morning, she's just trying to sing like Bar Bar Black Sheep to me.
That is so sweet.
And like, she sounded so happy. She's just like, Baba. And I'm like, this is lovely, but now is not the time. We do not need to be singing nursery rhymes now, right now. Like, save that for circle time at nursery during the daytime when you're meant to be awake. I have no idea what's been going on. And it's so funny because nursery, we're telling her, we're like, oh my goodness, you know, her sleep's been terrible. And they're like, oh, she's fine here. Like, she's napping great. Just, you know, she's absolutely fine. We're like, okay, like, just, yeah, completely different story. But anyway, so it's been hard, like both of us, like my husband and I have been kind of getting up trying to help each other out, but we are both really tired. Like, yeah. I feel like there's, as a parent, there's like a basal level of exhaustion, right? And then
yes. You
just add in this on top of that, like a few rough nights, and it's kind of ongoing, and what, I don't know, it's down to a cough or a cold or teething or whatever it is, we are very tired. So do you know what? Yeah. Initially, I thought that was a fail, but actually the win is that we have actually just kept going. We've just kept going. And because there is no choice, you kind of just have to. We've kind of just powered through, get up, you know, get them ready, go to work and kind of do the day. We obviously like collapse in a heap by the end of the day, but maybe I will turn that into a win, actually.
Oh, absolutely. I was struggling to see the fail there. And I think that the beauty is that you and I are going through the same journey. Our babies are at the same stage. So I completely and utterly understand everything that you're going for. And anyone that's listening to this will also, with their own, around about the same time as us, will know that every time you think you've just about nailed it, you know, one night, they just throw a spanner in the works the following day.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to kind of keep on the theme of sleep, which, you know, we might be working up to something here. I'm actually going to go a bit deep and actually celebrate, I think, what has felt like an epic win this time round. And I'm going to keep on the topic of sleep, in that it was just so awful with my first, my eldest, who's now obviously 8, that this time round I am just so proud that despite the exhaustion and the relentless ups and downs with sleep that we have had with our baby, I'm just so proud that I've just gone with it this time. I've just followed my baby. I've listened to my baby. And I didn't do any of this the first time around. I was so trying to be rigid, trying to follow the rules, trying to compare notes with everyone else and beat myself up as to why my baby wasn't doing what everybody else's baby was doing. Whereas now with Elora, I just, throughout the whole time, I was like, okay, do you know what? She'll get to it when she's ready. And there's some nights where she sleeps right through and I totally celebrate and I'm rewarding her and I'm just so happy for us. But on the nights where it just doesn't happen, I bring her in with me, we have cuddles and I just have to accept the situation for it is. I don't know whether this is just me knowing that this is the last time I'll get to have like a baby again or whether it's just I've got more experience behind me, whether I just can't be arsed. I mean, I just don't know what I'm doing.
Sure it's a combination of everything, I'm sure.
But I think that, I'm going to just, when you were saying that, I think we need to celebrate more, you know, surviving those nights in the best way that you can. Like my eldest, he didn't sleep through the night until he was like 5. In fact, he was in with us like until he was 5. So I was prepared for this journey to be like, oh, here we go again. Mm. And respect to the baby, she does have lots of good nights where she will just sleep right through on her own. Many more where she doesn't. But, you know, the win is that we're just powering on and being very Elora-led. And I'd be really, really interested to hear what our next guest has got to say about our tactics, because who have we got on today, Sarah?
We have, this is so smooth, by the way.
great
transitions. It'd be even better if we didn't talk about how great the transitions are. But we are delighted to have Rosie Davidson on. You may know her as Just Chill Mama on Instagram. And she is, I will let her kind of introduce herself, but for me, from a personal point of view, Rosie, I feel like you were one of the first people I followed, like when I first started Instagram, and, you know, you've just kind of been there throughout. And actually, I don't know if you know this, but we did this like little collaboration thing together, like a Q&A thing. And like, that was my first ever one that I did with you. And I was super excited about it. So yeah, you hold like a huge Instagram milestone for me on your page as well. But anyway, thank you so much for giving up some of your evening to chat with us. We are delighted to have you here.
Well, hello. What an intro.
Slightly long-winded.
You've built me up now. I'm absolutely delighted to be here this evening with you lovely ladies. It's funny. I can remember that collaboration now. It feels like it was a long time ago now, wasn't it?
It was a while ago. Yeah, it was.
We all seem to kind of collaborate with one another, which is lovely to support each other in all these different areas. And sleep, I think, is one that most parents at some point will struggle with, hence why so many people follow me, I think. So if you don't already know me, I'm an infant sleep consultant and a mum of now 3 children. I've got used to saying 3 instead of 2. I've got an 8-year-old, an almost 5-year-old and an almost 11-week-old. So we are doing the juggle. He was born just before the school holidays, which was not great timing. I have a large Instagram following. I help people with putting out information there about sleep, with informative posts, Q&As, doing things like this. I think it's really important to get quality advice out there, but also just, I think my approach is quite straightforward. I don't think it should be complicated. I think things should be accessible and affordable if people do want to pay for support as well. I'm here to help, really. And yeah, just looking forward to delving into a bit more detail with you guys.
Yeah, no, same as what Steph said. I remember I'd had my little baby and we were like just entering into that first lockdown when I discovered you, Rosie, and just information you were putting out, because I was just so fearful. I'd had a child, aww, an older child who just hadn't slept before and we had such a negative experience. And it can sometimes, I think if you've had a particularly difficult time, it can almost be sort of a bit traumatic. It leaves that kind of fear in you for the next time of like, what if it goes that way? And you just remember the depths of sleep deprivation. And you were just such a light on Instagram, and you were so comforting and consoling. And you came on and you did an Instagram live with me. And I remember it was one of the most popular ones that we had, because literally, as you see, at some point, every parent will have issues with some form of sleep. And I think as GPs, Steph and I, we get a lot of questions from patients, but we're no experts in this. You know, I didn't even know that sleep experts were around until I actually had my own. And you're just literally trying to grab every tiny bit of information that you can get of, like, please help. So we're really just excited to have you as the expert on our podcast, because lots of mums listening to this will want sort of, you know, common tips or information about what they can do just to get them started on that journey. And what's really special is that you've just had your third baby, so you're kind of going through this at the moment, and you're so raw and real as well. Like, you're not just one of those people that tends to go, oh, you know, this is the perfect way to do it. You've been really honest with your own experiences, which I think is just so helpful.
I was going to say, I think it's about finding your own way and your own style. You were talking about a little bit about kind of just accepting, you know, your situation. And there's an element of that. You know, there's always something you can do, I believe. But like finding your way and the way that works for you and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are you getting on? You've obviously just got an 11-week-old. How is it going this time round for you?
It's going okay. Like I said, it was an intense start because we had all three of them in the house when I came home from hospital. And it was quite a shock. I had a C-section, which was semi-planned. He was transverse, so it was becoming a bit dangerous. So we went for a C-section. So I had the C-section recovery as well to factor in. An almost five-year-old who's quite physical as well. So it's quite challenging with her to explain, you know, you can't always like jump on mummy and cuddle mummy. And she gets a bit frustrated with me breastfeeding as well. So that's another story. But yeah, it's been quite an intense ride, but he's approaching the magic like 12-week mark where I find things get a little bit easier. So he's starting to get a pattern to his days. His nights have got a bit better. But I'm just like every other mum, to be honest with you. Like, you know, we've had sleep challenges. I've had those nights where he was cluster feeding and he didn't sleep till like 3 o'clock in the morning, literally cluster feeding from the early evening till the early morning.
And oh my goodness.
I was like, do you not know I'm a sleep consultant? Like, looking at him, do you not know? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But we're kind of past that bit. And he's got a bit of a pattern going now, which is great. And I'm really lucky. My husband and I share quite a lot of our parenting. And he does take a bottle, so he does some of the night feeds as well, which is really nice.
Oh, that is good. It's nice to be able to kind of share the load and just, you know, have and also for your husband as well to have that bonding time with the little one.
Yeah.
I love hearing about how it's been for you, and that, you know, you've had those problematic nights as well, because I guess, you know, from the outside looking in, maybe it's what people think of us, you know, if we're GPs, they think, oh, you must know what's going on with your child all the time. We're like, no way. What is it like being a sleep consultant and having a newborn? Do you find it helpful? Do you find it kind of frustrating? You know, what's it been like?
It's a bit of both. And to be honest with you, it's really funny. I was talking to my brother-in-law the other day, he's a GP, and he was saying, I was talking to him about sleep, and he was saying there's a reason why doctors aren't able to prescribe medicine to themselves. I think that's right. You're not allowed to like diagnose yourself, because it's really hard to look from the outside, to look at your own situation and necessarily see what's going on, whereas an outsider can look in. But saying that, I think it is useful, because all the kind of setup, like setting up a great sleep environment, how you start a routine, what products should you use, shouldn't you use, all of these things I just know, and they're second nature, so I'm not questioning myself on those things. I think there's been an element of frustration where probably when he got to about 5 weeks, I was like, do you know what, my tolerance to this sleep deprivation is like quite low. It's like, I really want to get you into a bit of a routine. By routine, I don't mean like routine strict set times. I mean, doing things in the same order and having a bit of a pattern. I think a lot of people don't really understand the difference between a routine and a schedule. Okay. It's not necessarily fixed, but I wanted to just have that because it was getting really frustrating, especially with the girls, like being able to split myself between the three of them. So, being a sleep consultant has its advantages. And I think as he grows and moves out of the fourth trimester, it will probably become more useful. I just think there's an element of the first few months where there's not a great deal you can do. You just have to ride the storm. You just have to just go with it. Like I said, there's things you can do, like simple things I talk about all the time, like, you know, keep those night feeds dark, get out in the day, to teach them the difference between day and night. Don't have like hours and hours of daytime sleep. You've got to balance it. Things like that are really straightforward. But there is an element where you just have to ride the storm. Like babies do, they do wake up and they do need your assistance. Like, you do sometimes get unicorn babies, and I wasn't lucky enough to have one this time. But there are babies.
What's a unicorn baby?
Those are babies who are naturally predisposed to settling themselves. You'll get them, they can sleep through from like 4 or 5 weeks. That just happens.
They're not just the ones that those mums in the groups that you just don't listen to because they're lying.
Yeah, but they do exist, and it's really frustrating for other people.
Okay.
They're quite rare, but and that's where sometimes the comparison actually can be quite not dangerous. Dangerous sounds extreme, but you get mums who are waking up like every hour, and then there's their friend whose baby's sleeping through or sleeping for 8 hours straight at like 4 or 5 weeks old. And so the mum who's waking every hour is like, what am I doing wrong? I'm failing. And then there's that horrible like questioning yourself, doubting yourself, if you're breastfeeding, potentially doubting your milk supply. If you're formula feeding, are we on the wrong formula? Do they have reflux? Like all these things. You're like, God, you know, it's so complex. It's such a difficult emotional time. Your hormones are flying everywhere. You're recovering from birth, however you birthed your baby. I just think the fourth trimester is just brutal. It really is.
Yeah, and I think that the narrative, as you say, you know, there's a comparison which you have probably within your own friend circles or in baby groups. And then during the pandemic, what we had was, you know, you didn't actually have those groups, but it was even more magnified on social media. So you had to be really careful with who you followed and what comparisons you made, because it was so accessible. And often when you are sitting there as a new mum in those first 12 weeks, you feel quite isolated, vulnerable. You don't really know what you're doing. And as I've learned, and I'm sure you both will all agree as well, is that each experience is very different. Each baby is very different. So you can't even compare those two examples. And I think that it's important to just kind of to take yourself out wherever you can and just take it a day at a time and read the baby before you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I even found myself as like a sleep and parenting expert getting frustrated. I saw someone on Instagram talking about their baby that's only a week older than mine. And this baby was on 4 hourly feeds. And at that point, my baby was waking like every hour. It's like, you just get that like, oh, why? And then I was like, hold on a minute, Rosie, step back. What are you doing? Like, calm down. Like, but when you're in that moment, it's really hard not to compare. And I even do it as an expert.
That's just so refreshing to hear. Like, I think it's just so nice to hear, because as you said, it's hard to be objective when you're in the thick of it. But when you are in the thick of it and you have got someone, even be it like a sleep consultant, which is why I love you, because I think that you really balance the reality of it well. But when you have somebody going, well, I can help you with that, you know, I can sort that. Like, there was a few times where I, you know, shared how difficult a time we were having. And I think sometimes you just want somebody to say, right, you know, this is okay, this is totally normal what you're going through, rather than I've got the solution. Because then when somebody else has got the solution for you and you haven't asked for it, you go into failure mindset of then maybe I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah. And this is why with my one-to-one support, we don't start before 6 months. We won't work one-to-one with anyone with younger babies. I just think there are some babies that are far, far, in inverted commas, easier, but more predisposed to settling and sleeping more soundly. But a lot of them aren't really ready to have that consolidated sleep until 6 months and up. And it can be much later. So I don't necessarily think it's fair to people to sell them something that they might not achieve. Like, you need to have realistic expectations. And we do have resources for 0 to 5 months, and sometimes they're really, really effective. But I think people need to not be so missold kind of like expectations of sleep, really.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, I think that the way that different societies view baby sleep as well, I actually find that really interesting, because you know, to some cultures and in, you know, in some countries, if you say, oh, well, you know, I expect, you know, my baby sleeps in a room by themselves and they sleep for, you know, X amount of hours per night. To them, they might just think, well, that's just the most bizarre thing. You know, like a lot of cultures, they will, babies will typically kind of
Asian culture,
sleep with grandparents, yeah. Etc. Yeah, exactly. Asian cultures, a lot of that, you know, because of so many things, but also like space, like, you know, space is a commodity. Who, you know, what do you mean a baby has their own room? And so I just find, you know, the approaches as a result, like really, really interesting. And I think that it's just taught me, like you said, that there is no right way. There are obviously some ways that people, you know, you just, like you said, you choose the right way that works for you. And we've just all got to be really mindful of not to like kind of push that onto other people as much as well. Because like you said, then you start bringing up the feelings of like guilt and, you know, comparison. And we already have plenty of that going on in our minds ourselves. Yeah,
it is really interesting to look at the cultural differences in the approach to sleep. That, I mean, things like if you speak to, I had a client once, and her family was Spanish, and we were talking about the baby going to bed at 7, and they were like, what? Baby's going to bed at 10. And it's like really unusual for them. Also, people in the US, on the flip side, because I think it's actually because women have really rubbish maternity leaves, they go back so soon, they're potentially much more rigid than us, and they do sleep training really young. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it's far too soon, but sometimes it's necessity. Like, you know, if you're having to go back to work when your baby is 6 weeks old, I mean, I can't imagine it, but, you know, going to an office doing like 10-hour days, they work so hard. So, you know, in some cultures, in that sense, they're kind of the opposite. It's like, it's really normal. It's like a rite of passage as well. So it's really interesting to see culturally the different approaches to infant sleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, see, I'm really interested. Like, what was it that actually made you go into sleep training? Like, tell me a bit about your journey.
Okay, so I've always really been into like health and fitness and wellness, that kind of arena. And I was working in an office job. I worked in admissions at a university college. And I had my first, and she wasn't really sleeping well at all. We had a horrendous start. First 6 weeks, breastfeeding was a car crash. I had mastitis like 5 times. Horrendous. So we gave up, and actually it was a massive relief, to be honest. But I wasn't particularly supported, but that's another story. So first 6 weeks were a nightmare. Then we turned to formula, all fine. I actually felt really relieved. And then she slept quite well until about 3-4 months, and it all went absolutely out the window. And I thought I had it nailed, right? I've always been academically like a really high achiever. I read every baby book, and I thought, I know this, I know everything. If I try hard enough at something, I can do it. Like, there's no reason why it's not going to work. And her sleep, I was on my knees. I was absolutely like, she just wasn't sleeping. And I remember saying to my mum, even like, I've made a big mistake having a baby. Like, and mum, I remember my mum was just like shocked. She was like, you need to get some help. I was like, well, there's no such thing. Like, and then I looked it up, and I was like, actually, there was, it's not as much as there is now. Really, there weren't really sleep consultants as there are now, but there were nannies. And I spoke to this really old fashioned nanny. She gave me a bit of advice about routine, and I was like, this sounds like really militant, but I get it and it makes sense. And I was like, actually, I've been trying to get her to nap when she wasn't really ready, and she was like approaching 6 months, and on retrospect she was ready for weaning and I hadn't really started at all, and she genuinely actually was really hungry. I mean, again, weaning's another thing which doesn't always help sleep, but in my particular scenario there were loads of things. And I was like, you know, this makes sense. And then I looked into sleep training. I'd always thought it's something that's like psychologically damaging and it's horrendous and it's something I could never do because I'm an earth mother. And do you know what? I tried it and I made up kind of my own version, because I don't believe you should have to do either attachment parent, I co-sleep, I have you on me 24/7. And I don't think you should have to do cry it out, which is shutting the door, leaving them, you know, not going until 7 in the morning. There should be a happy medium for your average parent who's just like, you know what, I cannot go on like this. It's not fair on me, my husband, my family, everything. So I did my own version of sleep training. And it was really successful. And I was like, oh my God, why did I not do this any sooner? And as time went on, I started helping like friends and family, just obviously casually, like not in a professional sense. And then people started saying to me, you know, you should do this. Oh, at the time as well, I was teaching baby massage. I had a little sideline in teaching baby massage. And at the classes, people always, always were talking about sleep. And I was like, hang on a minute, I'm dishing out sleep advice. So one of my friends said to me, you need to qualify and do this. So I went and did a course when I got insured, and that was how the business started. And I decided to get information out there as a way to obviously promote myself. So it was a marketing tool, but also to actually help people, because I'm really passionate that sometimes it can be a really tiny, simple tweak and it just changes everything. So I started doing videos on Facebook, actually. I didn't start Instagram until I think Lola was a baby, or maybe I was pregnant with Lola, so nearly 5 years ago. So my Instagram is not that old compared to a lot of other people. So yeah, that's where it started. So it was my own sleep deprivation, my own desperation that's made me seek out help, create my own method, then market it, and then here I am.
Oh, but that's such a lovely journey. And obviously, like you said, it's kind of came about so naturally. And I'm sure the thing that really adds value as well is the fact that you have been through it, and you know, and you're definitely going through it at the moment as well. So everything that you say, I'm sure, you know, everything that parents say when they're kind of struggling, you just like totally get it. And so when there's someone else at the end of the phone, or, you know, on a virtual consultation who just gets it, that, that's so, so helpful.
Yeah.
So you've already shared a few pearls of wisdom, but I'm sure many people will be wanting to know, what are your, if you could, I mean, I know there is so much you could say, but what top tips would you say, would you want to offer new parents in terms of sleep?
Okay, so like nitty gritty of actual like tangible advice, I would say, look at your sleep environment. So there's some simple things you can do to optimize it. So for example, blackout bedrooms. If you want to use white noise, you can try white noise. Make sure it's not too hot. You know, you want it fairly cool, but not too cool, so the baby wakes up freezing cold. You know, follow safe sleep guidance, all of that kind of thing. So sleep environment, optimize that. Look at your routine. So again, by routine, I don't necessarily mean a really strict schedule unless you want to follow that. But just making sure that baby isn't having too much daytime sleep, but also having enough, which is a really hard balance, I know, and it can seem like a bit of a riddle, but experimenting and working with that, because you don't want your baby to be overtired, although people obsess a bit too much about overtiredness, I think, in the sleep industry, because I think people can end up making themselves stressed about like forcing naps. Sometimes if you let it go, it can actually work a bit better. But you don't want to be kind of trying to keep baby awake all day to make them sleep at night. It doesn't work like that. So it's finding a good balance of your day, making sure that baby's well slept, happy, you want to get all your feeds in and that kind of thing. And lastly, if you want to, you can look at how baby's settling, and more often than not, that can contribute to how well they sleep. There are some babies that you can rock to sleep, feed to sleep, juggle to sleep, whatever you're doing, and they will sleep quite well. There are others that will consistently need that input between every sleep cycle in the night. So some babies you'll find will benefit from experimenting with how you get them to sleep. And you can change that super gently if you want. You can do it really gradually. You know, you can go from rocking to sleep to holding to sleep to laying with your baby to rolling away from them, you know, to eventually leaving the room. You can do things like that. Or if you want to, you can do quick checks. So you check on them, leave the room, go back, check on them, that kind of thing. There really is no right or wrong. The evidence it points to that fact. So it's finding what works for you and your family. But if you want to look at it, you can. And whatever your parenting style and beliefs are, you can make changes if you want to.
I think that's so important what you say about your own parenting styles, because you can get very caught up in what you think is the right thing to do. I remember, you know, when you were talking about your first child's experiences and, you know, my little baby, we had a disastrous time with breastfeeding. He had a severe refluxer, but much like yourself, like whatever, academic, I'd read everything there was. And I think at the depth of deprivation, sleep deprivation, I actually physically lit, like I put the books on fire in the garden of my mum's house, because I was like, I just can't cope, because my baby wasn't conforming. It was like that thing, you know, that you say, the overtiredness, you generate all these beliefs, and it's like, God forbid if the baby goes to sleep at 5 o'clock, you know, 5 p.m. and you're just like, oh my God, this 20 minute nap means he's not going to sleep the rest of the night. Or maybe that was the 20 minute nap that was the game changer that made him sleep all night. You know, you overanalyze everything to the nth degree. And I think it's just about being able to, as you say, just step away from it and stay in the lane of what your style of parenting is. I think that, like, trying to not fall into the trap is really good advice, because there are lots of misconceptions out there about not just sleep, but also, you know, what does getting a sleep consultant mean? I remember 8 years ago when I'd had my son, so it sounds around the same time when you were going through your experience. So there wasn't a lot of sleep consultants out there. One of my best friends did a baby around the same time, and she hired the sleep nanny, and the nanny came and they did the controlled crying method. And I just remember feeling just so anxious, because I was like, my baby's not sleeping, but I could not go through that. Like, if my baby cried, I'm just a very responsive, it's just who I am. I did it for everybody in my life. So in my head, this is just what sleep training was, that you would just put your baby down, they would cry, and that was it. Are there, like, common misconceptions that you hear about sleep consultants that you can kind of put to bed today for anyone that is worried or anxious about getting support from a sleep consultant?
Well, I think that you've kind of hit the nail on the head, that people kind of think that all sleep consultants are the same, so they're all one approach. Often people think that working with a sleep consultant, you have to be unresponsive. It's not the case. There are many, many different ways of approaching it. And there's kind of a spectrum of sleep support, I think. And that's where I'm different. I will provide across the spectrum, where we will do super, super gentle. I've worked with parents who co-sleep, who want to continue co-sleeping, but would just like to improve their night. And that's what it's about, managing expectations. And what one person says, actually, I would like to, instead of feeding my 8-month-old 10 times a night, I'd just be happy to feed them 2 or 3 times and not wait, be awake between those feeds. Like, that's, you know, for them, that would be progress. But I also work with people who say, do you know what? I need to go back to work. I can't carry on like this. And I'm happy to do this quickly. And I'm happy to do a type of controlled crying, essentially. But I wouldn't want anyone to do something they weren't comfortable with. But it's finding where you are on that spectrum and everything in between. There's loads of things. I mean, everyone's listening to this who's Googled kind of like gradual retreat, disappearing chair, all of these kind of things. And it can sound really confusing, but you just need to work on something that suits you and your baby as well. So it's not just you, it's working out what your baby's like. So I spoke about unicorn babies, you wouldn't even need to do controlled crying. You'd just be like, no, night, goodbye, I'm leaving, and they're fine. But there are babies that are labeled. So there was a study, I can't remember the name of it, the results were that some babies are more biologically predisposed to soothe themselves, and they're called soothers. Some are more predisposed to signalling to their parents, i.e. asking for support between sleep cycles. There's signalers and soothers. So if you have a baby who is a signaler, you're going to find it harder when you're working on sleep. And that can be really frustrating for parents when you're like, okay, my friend did the exact same thing. They did sleep training or they did gentle, whatever they did. You didn't get the same results in the same time. So someone might do controlled crying or sleep training or a version of it. And in 3 nights, their baby sleeps 7-7. And they're like, it was really easy. They only ever cried for 5 minutes. And then someone else might try that and their baby cries for like 2 hours. And they're like, oh my God, horrendous. And that's not the right approach for your baby. You know, you might have a baby who's a signaler who needs the input from you, who needs you, your physical presence to fall asleep. So you need to take a much, much more gradual, gentler route, which might be frustrating. But if you're willing to put in the time, then you can still get results, but it just might take you weeks or even months or even a bit longer in some cases. And that's okay. Like, you just have to go with it. So it's working out your baby and your style and working together. But I do always think there are tweaks you can make to just improve things.
That is fascinating. Yeah, signalers like versus soothers. I haven't.
I'll have to find the name of it and I can send you the study.
Yeah, I definitely think we've got our hands full of signalers in my household.
I think between us both, we've got signalers.
Yeah.
But do you know what? I think that's there's something quite cool about it. I like the term signalers. I think it just sounds like communicators. You know, they're communicating from a really young stage.
Yeah, that's the thing, because you go back to the whole kind of, are they a good sleeper or a bad sleeper? And you're like, well, actually, they're just, you know, a baby and that they just sleep
none of us actually sleep through the night. So it's a total misconception. We wake between our sleep cycles. Our bodies are designed to do that, to keep us safe. Mm-hmm. So it would be very odd if you actually slept soundly. You know, it's just that what happens is some babies will just stir and they turn over and get themselves back to sleep and others don't. But none of us actually sleep through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. So you've mentioned that, which I think really common misconception and something that again I came across when I was, you know, don't we all try and just read loads about sleep after we have babies? But
yes.
What are also some of the other common kind of pitfalls or maybe myths that you hear that, again, you kind of want to put to bed and kind of correct today?
Okay, so making a rod for your own back. I hate that phrase.
Good.
A common misconception that if you do things like, for example, when you're in the fourth trimester, so those first few months, if you're rocking your baby to sleep, feeding them to sleep, it means that you've ruined everything forever and it's far too late. I get people saying to me all the time, is it too late to work on sleep? My baby's 3 months old. I'm like, no, it's never too late. Like, you've not done anything wrong. So you don't make a rod for your own back. It's absolute nonsense. If you want to work on sleep, it's never too late. And I say that honestly from babies up until old age, like there's always things you can do to help someone. So it's a big misconception that you kind of make some big, huge mistake and this horrible rod that, like, I don't know what this rod is, but it's nonsense. That's a misconception or myth, I'd like to say.
I love that.
Another myth I don't like is never wake a sleeping baby. It really annoys me. A lot of people say that, and there's a few reasons. Number one, obviously, in the early days, you're establishing feeding and, you know, trying to get your baby back to their birth weight, that kind of thing. So you'd want to wake them potentially for feed. So medically as well, you need to look at that. But also, some babies, if you let them, they would sleep all day and be up all night. And you need to have a balance. So if your baby's been sleeping for like 3-4 hours in the day, I'd be thinking you probably need to wake them for a feed, because also if your baby misses their feeds in the day, they're going to make up for that at night. And also, as your little ones get older, especially when they get to the toddler age, you might find that, for example, they start waking up earlier and earlier and earlier in the morning, and then they're making up for that lost sleep in the day. So you might find that you have a baby that wakes up, I don't know, 5 o'clock, toddler that wakes up at 5, and they're doing like a 3-hour lunchtime nap. And I think, well, you need to probably cut that down. So there is going to be a point where you might need to wake them up. You can get yourself into a real pickle with that myth. So I think never wake a sleeping baby is a myth, But obviously you need to look at your situation and what's going on with your little one.
Gosh, I could just see Steph there thinking of me, because as soon as you said toddler, we're both like, oh God, yeah. that's what I didn't think. I think when your baby is sleeping, I know definitely in the earlier days, but I think when they start to get a little bit older, like, I swear I would kill my husband if he tried to wake the baby up after we've tried to like put her down for so long.
I wake my baby. He's only 11 weeks. There are times when I have to wake him. He does a morning nap, which is becoming a bit more predictable. And I don't need to wake him from that. But he does a lunchtime nap that I do actually wake him from, because otherwise he'd sleep through a feed.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, though, it's within context, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, because all of those scenarios that you were talking about are kind of, yeah, very reasonable things to kind of, yeah, reasonable times to do.
But it's these blanket myths that can be quite dangerous when things are taken out of context.
Yeah.
So someone might hear that and not wake their small baby, and then they miss a feed, and it can be quite dangerous potentially.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
and like you said, with establishing feeding as well, and that kind of routine, it's really important in the early days.
Rosie, I just wanted to ask you, when is it you would normally say, like, what's a kind of scenario where you would advise one of your mums to, for example, seek advice from their GP?
If there was any red flags, I call them. So if they were talking about their baby and being in lots of discomfort, or they were waking an excessive amount of times, and I'm thinking there must be something underlying. If they talk about reflux, I'd want them to always check with their GP before they worked with us. If they have any allergies, any other health conditions, we'd always want them to speak to their GP anyway. But that's if they're working with me. I just think it's always worth, if there's something that you're concerned about, always worth checking it out. I think trusting your gut. And sometimes I think people think that speaking to a sleep consultant is going to solve those other things, because there's lots of medical conditions and issues and challenges that can cause issues with sleep. They can cause disturbed sleep, but working with a sleep consultant isn't going to solve those issues. You need to speak to a medical professional. I find it quite alarming, actually. There are some sleep consultants out there who talk about medicines. Sorry, I can't talk. I'm getting tired now. They talk about prescriptions and medicines and talk about how you can treat your... And it's really wrong. I think it's really not our realm. We should stick to what we know. And you need to get to the bottom of those things with your doctor, not just any doctor, your doctor who knows your family, your history, get to the bottom of those issues. And then once those are resolved, baby's comfortable, you're convinced that actually you've solved the allergy or the reflux or whatever it is that's bothering baby, it could be anything, then you can work on, you know, building a good routine and stuff. Because if you try and do that, I get countless parents coming to us with babies with reflux, for example, and I'm like, do you know what? You can't work on it until you've got that baby more comfortable, or they've grown out of it, one or the other, or got to the root of it, or if there's, you know, an obvious cause, because a baby who's uncomfortable is not going to sleep soundly, and they're going to need lots of support from you and lots of comfort. And, you know, for example, holding them upright after feeds and things like that, you know, you just kind of have to get medical advice.
I think that's so reassuring and great to know that those are your red flags. I would, you know, both of us certainly echo those as well. And I agree that, you know, it's one expert for one thing. You know, this, you know, if your sleep consultant starts, you know, advising you on medical things, you know, telling you about medications again, that should also be, you know, a red flag for you. So Rosie, thank you so much for sharing so much information with us. And it's just been lovely to hear a bit about how you're getting on as well, and your journey, of course. But before you go, we would love you to share your own mum win or fail with us as well.
Okay, I'm going to share a fail.
So, part of the tribe.
Exactly.
On my stories yesterday, I was talking about how every time I get the baby to nap, the bloody doorbell goes. And my followers all advised me to put up a sign. So I was like, right, I'm going to do it. And then today, I only went and forgot. And you know what it's like trying to get your baby to get down for their nap, and especially like little ones, it's quite, it can be quite time consuming where I'm stood there for ages, like shushing him, then holding him, then feeding him, then putting him down, all of this. So he finally, those eyes went, he was nodding off, and then the bloody doorbell went.
It was the DPD man.
I literally could have murdered him. The eyes just went wide open. And I was like staring at me, and he started crying, and I was like, why did I not put the sign up? I put it up afterwards once I got him back to sleep. Thank God I did, because Amazon then came. I'm like, it serves me right for ordering so much stuff. But
I was going to say, well, that's the 3 a.m. haul coming in, isn't it?
Yes. But yeah, that was my fail. And if anyone who's listening, just put a sign on the door.
That is such good advice. I did not have anyone tell me to do that. And there have been many moments where I have screamed. I've opened the door, the window, sorry, and from the top, just kind of looking down. It's like one of those moments where it's just Disney gone wrong, where I'm just like, stop, fucking ringing the bell. And I'm like, just leave it on the doorstep. Like, leave it on the doorstep.
I know, but now they're like, we need to take a photo of you with it.
And I'm like, you're doing like that, the whisper shouting that you'd normally be doing with like your partner. It's a baby sleeping, you're doing it with a delivery man, and he's like not getting it.
Listen, people, get the sign.
Get the sign. This is something that should actually be like one of those, you know, mummy baby gifts that you can give to someone, a nice little wooden plaque that you can just purchase and gift and be like, trust me, darling, just put this outside your door. You'll be all right. I think I've just given somebody a business idea.
I know, I was going to say, Poonam, we need to jump on it.
You heard it here first.
Don't steal our idea, anyone. No, I'm joking. That is so, I was about to say funny. It's funny retrospectively, but we've all been there. We have all been there. So, solidarity in your mum fail, Rosie.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, thank you so much for coming on today. And, you know, I'm sure you've had a very long day. You're asleep, but deprived mummy also, and it's very late at night. So to share your expertise with us, we are so grateful, and I know that anyone listening to this will also do that. Where would you ask people to find you?
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram at @just_chill_mama. And the website is justchillbabysleep.co.uk. So if you want personalised sleep support or our online courses, then just go to the website. For all our freebie stuff, you can find it on my highlights on my Instagram page.
Yeah, those highlights, Q&As, you've got like really helpful YouTube videos as well, don't you? There's so much information there. So definitely go and check it out. Thank you so much, Rosie, for joining us. And fingers crossed, we hope you have a really good evening too.
Please, God. Thanks for having me. It was lovely to chat.
Oh, lovely to chat with you. So thank you everyone for listening. We hope that you found it helpful. Of course, if you enjoy this episode or any of our other episodes, please feel free to let us know. @TheMedicMum Podcast is our Instagram page, or we also have a website, medicmums.com, which you can share messages with us through in that way. But also please leave us a rating and review on Apple as well. But until next time, we will see you soon. Bye.